You don't have to convince anyone anymore these days of a website or online ticketing for an event. But we don't often think about the user experience. Bad usability is, however, one of the main reasons for losing revenue. Carl Hillis is a usability expert and explains how you can make your website more user-friendly and at the same time sell more tickets. Hi, Carl. Welcome to our studio. Usability is a topic of today, but what's wrong with our websites for the event industry?
Well, I don't know what exactly is wrong, but there are so many things that can go wrong on a website, from the homepage to a landing page to the checkout. Many things, and most people don't realize it, or most owners of websites don't realize it.
But like what?
For example, a landing page. Someone comes on your website, has done a search in Google, and he enters on a landing page, and I think especially in the event world, people like to show big photos, and the first thing you see on
the page...
Nice, it's very nice! But you see a big photo, and most of the times, that photo isn't very helpful. And as a user, I want to see the title of the event, I want to see when the date, and I want to see the price, and then the photo. But don't start with a photo, because then the first thing I need to do is to scroll. And you have to realize that the average visitor, it will take him only, on average, 2 seconds when something in his subconscious will decide, I'm going to stay on this website or I'm going to go back to Google. And is that in that 1 or 2 seconds that you have to grab the attention of your visitor?
Only 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah. And that's the longest. The average seems to be 0.4 seconds.
To decide whether they
decide, yeah, and it's not a rational decision. It's unsubconscious, but and that's to do with the look. So the look.
But then you would think a photo.
Yeah,
would
the
help.
Photo would help. But the photo is like, yeah, it's a photo, but it's if I go to a concert of U2 and I see a photo of Bono, it's just like, yeah, that's confirmative. Mm-hmm. But when it's an event of that is not as big and the name is not so big, the photo probably won't help me in my decision-making process.
But even with the photo of Bono, it would help to know whether there is a concert.
And if there are places available, because otherwise I will ruin my time. It's like, oh yeah, U2 is coming. And it's like you're reading the whole page and then at the end it's all sold out. Then I will say, fuck you.
I must
I'm sorry.
We cut that out. It is true that on many event websites, it's even hard to find the dates, the times.
Yeah. And that's so strange because that is what we call the top tasks of the visitors. And that's what's the most important. You should know the needs of your visitor and then give an answer to those needs. And of course, you also need the other explanations and the other stuff because we also want to know those things. But the first thing I want to know is the title, date, prices.
But then
practical stuff.
The trick is think like a visitor.
Oh yes, that's the basic trick.
Yeah, most of us just think, what do we have to tell?
Yeah, that's it took me many years to realize that the basic question that most people ask when they're creating their website or when a designer is making a website or a web agency is making a website, they will always ask the client, what is the goal of your website? So the client who's making the website will say, yeah, what is the goal of my website? Mm-hmm. And the question was wrong because it's my website and probably you will end up with what I call an egocentric website. And it's just a small change, but the basic question should be, what is the goal of the visitors to your website? And if you put yourself in the mindset of your visitor, I think that maybe 70% of all usability problems that have to do with content will evaporate.
Suppose we made that ugly looking website?
No, it doesn't have to be ugly. But ugly is, maybe an event, but it's not really a problem. If you look at I think it's still the most visited homepage ever, the one of Google. Mm-hmm. I don't think there are many people going to bed
it's
every night
sexy.
Saying like, oh, I love the design of Google. Yeah. Facebook is immensely popular. It's not the most beautiful design in the world. Amazon is not the most beautiful e-commerce
maybe
website.
Maybe the ugliest one.
And eBay and stuff like that. And I'm not promoting ugly, but the practical stuff seems to be more important than
but
the
what
beautifulness.
What do they do differently?
I think they answer the needs of the visitor. If you go to a hotel page on booking.com or a product page on Amazon, the first thing you see is the title, you see the price, you see the number of reviews, you see an average score of the visitors, you see maybe two or three highlights of the products, you see a product shot, availability, they tell you when can they deliver, the price, and a big buy button. And those 10 elements are just there, bam. You don't have to scroll, you don't have to think, it's like, it's there. And I'm not saying that everything should be above the fold and things like that, but the basic information should be there.
We have that website, we did our thinking, then the next step is ordering the tickets. And then you start in the flow.
Yeah.
But most people stop halfway.
But especially if it's a flow like that, people will stop. But first go back to that page, because there's one very important element before you enter the flow. That's your big call to action button. There are some problems already there. And I think one of the most common problems is that designers, they want the page to look beautiful and they want everything to blend in. So they make a call to action that blends in the environment of the page, with the results that it doesn't grab attention, and your call to action should stand out. The color should be completely the opposite of the base color of the page. And then the call to action itself, the wordings on it should be very, very clear, like, get your tickets now. The word now, it's incredible what it does.
Yeah? And
yeah, because we as human beings, we want it now, now, now. That's how we are programmed. And another small tip is it's not order your tickets now, but get your tickets now. Because get, that's what I want. You as a owner, you want me to order the tickets, but I as a visitor, I want to get my tickets. But and I know that I will have to pay for them.
This is an interesting one. Does it make that big difference?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes. Yeah, the wording is incredible. We had a website that was
everybody knows what order means.
Yeah, but one of the it's a fun example, but it's so strange. But one of the first times I realized it was we had a website for a car manufacturer, and on this website there was a dealer locator, and the button said search a dealer.
Yeah, sounds logical.
But do you want to search a dealer or do you want to
find one?
Yes, and we just replaced it with find a dealer, and we had now 14% more people using the dealer locator. And it was the only goal of the page, it was dealer locator. What else could I do on that page? So yes, it does make a difference. It's like, it's also in real world, when you talk to someone on a first date, everybody says you have to mimic the person in front of you. And the same is on the website, you have to mimic the thoughts and the wordings of the visitor.
Okay, interesting. Now we have, we go to the next step.
And then I have this call to action, you've convinced me, and then I see one step out of seven, and I will probably think, bugger off. You have to make the process as short as possible.
Yeah, but as an organizer, you need some information.
You want a lot of information. Do you need all that information? The first question you have to ask yourself is, what do I think that the visitor is prepared to give in return for his order? And maybe you should start with the basic stuff, and once he is a client, then you can try to gather more and more information later on. And if you have a multi-step process and you want a lot of information, then there's a small tip, but a very important one, and you can see it at booking.com. The first, I think the booking.com process is only two steps. The first step, they ask you for my first name, last name, and email address. I know my first name, I know my last name, and I know my email address. And I will start to fill in the form. And then I think, whoa, it's only one of two steps, and they only ask three things. And I start and I push enter, and then the second screen is blah, and you have to give a lot of information. But there are two things going on. First, psychology. I've started to fill in a form, and there's something in the human brain that says when
you
I start something,
it.
I want to finish it. And the second thing is when you give up as a user, what does booking.com have from you? Your email address.
Yeah. And they can start mailing.
And then after 20 minutes.
You didn't finish it.
Yeah, after 20 minutes, you will receive a first mail from them. Yeah. Oh, dear Kevin, I'm so sorry, but apparently something went wrong with your order. How quick can we help you?
Yeah.
And that's also things you can do. So make your process short and make it look as short and easy as possible. Always start with the easy questions. Email address is easier. It's and at the end, ask for the difficult things. Do you want to also, do you want also to buy a parking ticket, or do you want an upgrade? It's like difficult stuff.
At the end.
At the end, or after your process. That's something we did in the travel industry. They also, when they sell a journey, a trip, or a holiday, they also want to sell an insurance and to a rental car. Mm-hmm. But if you start asking those questions, people start thinking like, a rental car, and then they start Googling for other things, and then you've lost the deal. So what we now do is let people order their basic holiday, mm-hmm. and then when they finished, and I have received their money, mm-hmm. yeah. then I will start selling to upgrade. And in the holiday, in the travel sector, you have about, most of the times, about 6 months between they order a trip and the final
trip.
You have
some time.
You have 6 months to sell upgrades.
Yeah.
And I think in the events, that's also an idea. Start selling your upgrades later on. First, take the money and run. Doesn't sound very user friendly, but it's better than to have some conversions than no conversions.
Yeah, that's true. And what's your opinion on user registrations?
If
you come back, you can just log in.
Yeah, but it can be easy. But most of the time, registration is again driven by the company. Oh, then we have a single database and a single point of contact. But for users, it's sometimes it's very difficult. For example, me, I'm old, and I go to a concert twice a year, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then I go to a website, and then I start filling in the form, say, log in, are you registered? I'm saying, I don't know. And I start logging in, I start filling everything. And then at the end, say, oh, this email address already exists. Please try again and use your registration. And I'm going like, what's my username? And what password did I use on this website? So do the same thing as booking.com. They have an optional registration. You can always check out as a guest. That's the basic stuff. And then at the end, they send you an email, say, hey, Kevin, to make your life easier, you just click on this link and then we will make an account for you. And by making an account, you can always receive your tickets, print them again. And next time you buy something from us, you will be first in line. And then that's an advantage.
Yeah.
And now it's always like, oh no, registration. It's the same thing if you go to a shopping mall and you go at the end and the people have the lady or the man sitting there at the cash desk, cash register say, can I have your password, please? And your username. And they're like, oh!
Yeah.
It's one of my basic advices. Don't do anything on your website you don't like on all your websites.
And as an event planner, can you have a critical look at your own website, or do you always need an expert like your...
Yes.
Yeah, you will say yes, of course, but...
You always need me. Everybody needs me. No. No, you can... I think for programmers and for designers, it's probably difficult because they made the stuff. And when you make something, it's very difficult. But as the owner, as a marketeer, it should be possible. And something... You followed a training from me a while ago. And something I always see, if people are sitting in a classroom and they look at their own website on a big screen, sometimes they realize like, oh no, what did I do there?
Yeah.
So I sometimes give the basic advice, really sit back from your website with your foot on the desk and look at it, and maybe you will see some strange things.
Yeah.
Concerning the call to action, my basic advice is close your eyes a little bit that you only see shadows, and if you don't see your call to action, make it bigger and make it stand out more. But I think most essential problems, yes. For the other things, listen to your visitors, listen to your clients. You're in an industry where you have lots of contacts with your clients. They will send you an email and don't say, yeah, but it is there. No, if someone sends you an email like, I don't understand it or I didn't find it, then look at it with an open mind.
It's
and
not
say
a
like,
stupid user who can't find it.
Well, sometimes there are stupid users, but most of the time there might be a problem. So look at it and don't think, but it's working. No, maybe it's not. Maybe everything. We as a company, we always say everything can always be made better. And you can always try optimize things. Use your Google Analytics. There are so many tools nowadays where you can see, okay, there's a drop of a higher rate of visitors dropping off of my website on a landing page or on one of those steps in your order form.
One of the 20 steps.
Yeah, but make the order form as short as possible, please.
Okay, Carl. Thank you for sharing all this knowledge.
You're welcome.
And you at home, thank you for watching our show. I hope to see you next week.